September 21st, 2015. Topic is tshuva and free will, past, present, and future. I think Avram Abudi gave a shiur on Bechira Chofshi and tshuva maybe about 6 years ago. I wasn't present, but I think, you know, he spoke about it. I spoke about some of the ideas in the very beginning of this year at a Dvar Halacha from the main shul. So we'll try to go through, not spend that much time, but just review a little bit of these, some ideas from Rav Soloveitchik. And then what I want to do is hopefully raise some new questions from a shiur that I heard from Rav David Miller, and try to develop his ideas, which I think might be appropriate for our Seder Simei Tshuva. So the first question the Rav asked in his Sefer Ala Tshuva, on his essay and on Bechira, noticed that the structure of Hilchos Tshuva is problematic. Hilchos Tshuva is made up of 10 prakim, and he noticed that the first 4 prakim deal with Tshuva. But then Prakim Hey and Vav deal with the concept of Bechira Chafshi. And then Perek Zayin, the Rambam returns to the topic of Tshuva. The rest of Hilchos Tshuva deals with Olam Haba, Yemos Mashiach, Avas Hashem. Those are the remaining Prakim. But he was bothered by, why didn't, if there's this connection between Bechira Chafshi and Tshuva, so why don't you put that idea, it's a fundamental idea, put it at the beginning, of Hilchos Tshuva, and then have all the Prakim of Tshuva follow? Or for some reason you wanted to start with the halachic aspects, then give the underpinning, give this idea of Bechira, and then, but don't, why break it up? 4 Prakim of Tshuva, then Bechira, 2 Prakim, and then Tshuva again. It was problematic. He asked also from source 1, we see, this is the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, that the Rambam breaks up our aveiros into 4 different categories, and mentions that how quickly we attain kapara depends on what category we fall into. So if you were over, I'm going to focus on the highlighted underlined words. So if we were over a mitzvah saseh, then eno zaz misham ad shemochum lo. As soon as you do tshuva, so then you get kapara. For if you were over a mitzvah saseh, you didn't put on tefillin, and then you feel bad for it, you commit yourself to doing that in the future, mechila happens right away. If you were over a lav, if you're mitzvah, over a lo saseh, then you need tshuva is tola, suspends, but yom kippurim mechaper. You have to wait till that yom kippur to receive full kapara. What about krisus umisas based in that level of vevera? So the Rambam says tshuva of Yom Kippurim tolin. Not only is tshuva and Yom Kippur, that's still not enough. That was just suspends the punishment. V'yisurin habana lav gomrinas hakapara. You also need yisurin to finish the kapara process. And what's the 4th category? And a machalat Hashem. And if you did Chil Hashem, then Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurin just suspend, and then Misa is Mechaperet. Interesting idea that Misa is a Kapara, meaning that at your death, then the punishment has now been blocked, and when you go up to Shemayim, you no longer will receive the punishment. So if that's the rule, as laid out in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, then when we move to Perek Zayin, we see an obvious discrepancy. Because in Source 2, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, we look at Halacha Vav, describes a situation of Emesh Hayazeh Sanui Lifnei HaMakam. Just last night, this person was hated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meshukatz Meruchak V'Toeva. He's so distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's called the Toeva. And V'hayom, and now, just today, a day later, Hu Ahuv V'Nechmad Karov V'Yedid. He does tshuva, and he's an Oeva, he's of Hashem. Kama Mu'ula Malas HaTshuva Emesh, just yes, last night Hayazem Uvdal Me'Hashem Elkei Yisrael, he was separated. Tzoek Ve'eino Ne'aneh, he calls out, he's not answered. Osa Mitzvah Satofen Oso B'Fanav, they're thrown back in his face. V'Hayom, and today Hu Mudbak B'Shechina, he has Dveikus B'Hashem Shenem Avatem HaDvikim B'Hashem Elokeichem. Tzoek Ve'eino Miyad, he's answered right away. V'Osem Mitzvos U'Mekamos Hom B'Nachas U'Besimcha. So what happened? How could the Rambam say that in Perek Zayin, that yesterday you were hated, and now, and you obviously did, if it was Toeva, you obviously did serious levels of Averis that really should wait for Yom Kippur and Yisurin, and all of a sudden you do Tshuva, and then tomorrow you already are forgiven, and you're Nidbak B'Shechina. So what happened to the whole process that he mentioned in Perek Aleph? So the Rav answers these questions, I think, basing himself on source 3, which is two statements of Reish Lakish in Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Vav that contradict each other. Reish Lakish said that Gdola Tshuva Shizdonas Nases Kishkogos. Tshuva is so great that it can take Averos Bemezid that you did on purpose, and then after Tshuva, okay, so now they're looked at as a Shkaga. They're looked at like you did it by accident. So Tshuva is very powerful. It can take Mezid and bring it down to the level of Shkaga. But there's another statement of Reish Lakish that says even more. It says, Gdola Tshuva Shizdonas Natas Lo Kizchuyos. Tshuva is so great that it can actually take Mezid Averos and then turn them into mitzvos, turn them into Zuchuyos. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, Lokasha kan me'ava kan me'yira. So he's trying to say that one statement, the statement where it turns into just shkagos, so that's a tshuva me'yira. But if you did a tshuva me'ava, then your past indiscretions can even be counted as zechuyah. So the Rambam takes that Gemara and the Rav takes that Gemara and applies it to our Rambam, and he says that the first four prakim of Hilchos Tshuva were dealing with tshuva me'yira, and that's when tshuva me'yira is a process. You're working on one avera and it takes time, but there's such a concept of tshuva me'ava, where your whole worldview is redirected towards Hashem, as being at the center of your whole life, that can then happen, even can bring about a sense of being oev Hashem and being nidbak by Hashem even overnight. What does Bechira then have to do with that? Why does that follow? Because the Rav wanted to say that the first four prakim, Bechira Chafshi plays a very minimal part at all. It's more from either an emotional fear, it's Tshuva Meira, or even an intellectual fear of the repercussions. But it's not the Bechira where you choose to, like I say, make God the focus and center of your life. Once you have that power, and if you do that, then that can lead to a tshuva me'ava, which can work in a much quicker process. He also says in Ala Tshuva, and just nice ideas to mention before Yom Kippur, on a psychological level. So he mentions, how is that power that a mezid can turn into zuchuyos? How can it turn into mitzvos? So he says that there are sometimes that a person looks back at his past and that the averus that he did. And he just wants to forget about them. And he cuts them out of his life, and he just wants to move on, and he doesn't want to revisit it, and he's embarrassed about it, and that's, he just leaves it behind. Okay, but he says that there's another dynamic that's sometimes at work, that a person feels the repercussions of his chait constantly. He feels and he senses very deeply how much the chait has distanced him from Hashem. And he doesn't hide from those feelings. He keeps those feelings close. And if a person, and that distance, right, can now be the impetus to run towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu quicker than one would have even run beforehand. And that is, he's saying, how your shkagos, your mezid, your averus in the past, by reframing it and almost feeling this embarrassment and this distance, but that then can be an impetus to be a zechuyos to mitzvos, to have you take all that energy which you focused in the wrong areas and now focus on trying to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Another idea that he mentioned, and again, these were older ideas, but just so beautiful, was that, and I want to get onto some new ideas that I don't think people have heard of yet, but it's the idea that many decisions in our life, 95%+, you know, in decision life, a lot of it is just, I don't want to say pre-programmed, but it's just based on almost habitual. You know, I get up in the morning, I'm not fighting with myself to put on tefillin or not. I'm going to put on tefillin. It's what they call below my bechira point. It's not something that I'm struggling with. But that's based on the house I grew up with, the values I grew up with, the yeshivas that I went to in my world, and the understandings and sermon that I've read, and understanding that how I wanted to live my life. I'm not fighting with that. It's below my bechira point. So, you know, my bechira point might be if I miss Ma'ariv, should I run to the Minyan factory at Kiryat Sefer or not? You know, that might be where, I'm struggling. My sons-in-laws, that might be below there. You know, of course they're going to go, that. None of us are even waking up in, Tikkun Chatzos and trying to say, in the middle of the night. That's above I. That's not, So most of the things so if I'm working that, how much of it, 5% of my decisions, where I'm working on, should I go to that minyan for my Arvin here or not? But most of the other things that I'm doing in terms of Avodas Hashem is not involved, with Bechira. It's already almost like decided on, from my whole environment. But what the Rav has said would, unbelievably beautifully, that we have the power in terms of Bechira Chafshi to change not just that 5% and use Bechira Chafshi to choose the 5%, but we can restructure. It's tremendously, tremendously hard. But he says man has the power to restructure the 95%, to restructure all his goals in life, all his priorities in life, restructure that when a new situation comes where automatically I used to go to decision X, now it's going to almost by pattern go to this decision Y. That's a tremendous level of powerful Bechira, and that's after he describes that level of Bechira in Barakay and Vav, then he starts discussing, wow, now Emish, you were Meruchak from Hashem. Once you've made this transformation of a tshuva me'ava, of a tshuva that changes the 95% of what your goals are and what your values are, then you can be Nikra Ov and Nidbak B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So those were ideas from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Miller, just again focusing on still that one problem.
Does it have anything to do with you're putting on tefillin? You're talking about something else. You restructure and refocus.
Right.
Are you refocusing the way you do the mitzvah? You did it a year ago, but now you're going to really pay attention to what you're doing. Is that what he's discussing here?
It could be, for that person who didn't, and now it becomes a priority. So again, if he basically lives his whole life and he's just struggling, he wanted to say the first four prakam, when you're struggling over, basically you're not changing your life, but the first four prakam, we're talking about you struggle over one avera. So if you're changing one focus, then you're still not talking about this bechira, that this whole powerful bechira that the Rav wanted to say of. But if you change, because if you change your whole structure and value system, then so many other things are just going to fall into place. And that would be the post-Bechira, impetus, of being described, or situation being described in Perek Zayin of the Hilchus of Hilchus Tshuva.
Yeah. Can we say there's a bit of a time element over not just a single year, because what you seem to be describing is more of a single year, but actually, many, many years. You shouldn't take for granted the Bechira Chafshi that you made over the course of your life to put yourself in an environment like this where tefillin is beneath your
right
point.
Right.
So effectively, if you look at this from a, not necessarily a single year, a temporal aspect, but, an entire lifetime or a continuous process of the spectrum, then perhaps you can apply, the transformational tshuva that you're describing in the first four prakim as well.
Right. It doesn't have to happen instantaneously, and most people will say if you try to jump, too many rungs at once, you're gonna fall down. And then the correct way is to do it, over a period of time, and then do it over steps, and then but by the end of that process, you've changed again, not your whole worldview, and then things start becoming more automatic based on those, the worldview that you have. Rav Miller pointed out, and he said that the Rav was aware of this too, that the terms of Tshuva Me'av and Tshuva Me'ira don't appear in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. He doesn't refer to, in the first four problems of Tshuva Me'ira, and he doesn't refer to Perek Zayin as Tshuva Me'av. So, using basically almost the same ideas, but Rav Miller thought that he could just use it with a different terminology, and that's the rest of page 1. If you look at source 4 in Hilchos Deos in Perek Aleph, the Rambam describes that there are many character traits that make up a person. Deot harba yeshul chol adam echad ve'echad mimnei adam v'zeh mishunu mizu rechuku mimenu biyoser. And he's made up of many different character traits, and people are, and also their people are very different from one another. Yesh adam shuhu bal chema ko'ez tamid. This is an angry person. This is the angry man, right? He's a bal chema. He's the angry man. V'yesh adam shadat tom yushevet alav eino ko'ez klal. He doesn't get angry. V'yichas ka'at yichas ma'at b'kama shanim. He gets angry very, to a low degree and very infrequently. Yesh adam shuhu gava. There's a bal gaiva, a person who is made up of, and a very strong trait of his is his pride. And there's others that are shval ruach biyoter. There's a bal taiva, right, that gives into his instinctual desires, right? And then there's a bal leif tahor. There's a pure-hearted man, right? There's a bal nefesh rechava shlo tisba nafsho mikom amon olam. There's the greedy man. Right, like it says in the pasuk, "Inyan shenema oif kesef lo yizba kesef." He'll never be satisfied, no matter how much he has. So the Rambam posits certain traits that almost there are people that get defined by that trait. He is the bal taiva. He is the Baal Chema, the angry man, the greedy man, the instinctual man, right? So he also says, but the Rambam, he says in Perek Zayin, is interesting enough, and I highlighted it in Source 5, he uses the word Baal Tshuva in Perek Zayin. So he wants to say what he's describing in Perek Zayin is not the Tshuva process. The Tshuva process was described in the first four Prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, but in Perek Zayin, the Rambam is describing the Baal Tshuva, the person who is defined. His defining midah, his defining. He doesn't just do Chesed. He's the Baal Chesed. If you take Shira Gilor or Torjerman, these are Baalat Chesed. That's their I can do Chesed. But my house is not, is not their house, So that's so the Rambam is describing in Perek Zayin the Baal Tshuva. So and I highlighted it four times, and it says Makam Shabali Tshuva Omdin. This is Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim. Don't think that a Baal Tshuva is Meruchak Mimalas HaTzadikim. Don't think he's more distant, because of his sins. No. So here he's describing that person whose defining characteristic is calling him a Baal Tshuva, as opposed to the first four Prakim was discussing the Tshuva process. Now let's go on to some new questions. I wanted to ask about five other questions. Let's stay with Source 5. Let's stay with Source 5. This is the halach, the beginning of Source 5. It's telling you the opening halach in Perek Zayin. So let's read it. Halacha Aleph. Hoil. He just finished talking about Bechira Chavshi in 5 and 6. So he says, Ho'el Roshus Kol Adam Nesuna, Lo, since a person has this power of Bechira Chavshi that we just described, I'm on Source 5, Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, for the bottom of the first page, still the first page. Ho'el Roshus Kol Adam Nesuna, Lo, Kamosha Biarnu, Yishtadel Adam, Lasos Tshuva. A person should try to do Tshuva, Lisvado Mipiv Michata'av, and say Vidui. And here's the first question. Linor kapav mechatatav. And shake out his hands from chatoyim. That's not how the Rambam usually speaks. The Rambam doesn't speak so metaphorically, right? What does it mean, shaking out? It's almost like a tashlich type of shaking out your pockets, from your chatoyim. So what is the Rambam talking about, shaking one's hands, from the chatatav? What is he alluding to? That would be question number one. And then he says, kidei sheyamut v'hu bal tshuva. So I would have said a person should do tshuva, right? So he should die as a Baal Tshuva? I would say, you know, when we're talking, you know, Kiddush Hashem, you know, Kiddush Hashem, you don't want to die al Kiddush Hashem, you want to live, you know, al Kiddush Hashem. So I would have said you do Shuvah because, you know, because you want to live as this Baal Shuvah, which is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he focusing on Kiddush Yamus Buhu Baal Shuvah? And then he asks, Rav Mila asks, V'yizkel Chai Olam Haba? And what's so special about Shuvah and Chai Olam Haba? If you learn Torah, you get Chai Olam Haba. We heard Shofar, we get Chai Olam Haba. You do any mitzvah, so we're going to send the Sukkah. You know, it brings us to Olam Haba. What's, you know, why is he focusing on Shuvah and Olam Haba? Those were three questions. And we say in Halacha Beis, we see the same thing, the focus on that second question of why focusing on Yom HaMisa. Person should consider himself like he can die any day. And then he has his sin is in front of him. A person should then therefore do tshuva immediately. Don't say that, you don't delay the process of tshuva, but do it immediately. So like Shlomo said, at all times your clothes should be white. So those were the three questions that we asked. He says, what does this mean? Lin'or kapav mechatatav, shaking out one's hands. Why the focus on the Yom HaMisa? And why, you know, only this halacha with Olam Haba? What about other mitzvahs? Turn the page. Source 6. Another question. So we've already asked it before. We started off this year. Why did the Rambam have four on tshuva, two on bechira, and then one again on tshuva? Didn't say. But the Rambam, but Rav Mila asked, and say, we'll ask even a better question. We say, why put Hilchas, the concept of bechira here in Hilchas tshuva? Why don't put it in the beginning of his sefer in Hilchas Yisodei Torah? Because we're going to see in the next source, he's going to call this an ikar gadol vu amud haTorah vaMitzvos. He's going to say in source 6 that without the concept of bechira chafshi, the whole concept of being a mitzvah falls off. What do you mean? If you're saying I don't have bechira, so that means everything's predetermined. So why are you commanding me to do something if I'm already predetermined that I have no bechira, that either that I can't do it, right? Or you're saying that I must necessarily do it. So what's the, if I must do it, then why are you adding a tzuva to it? You know, what that means anything? And why are you commanding me something if I don't have any bechira and I know that I'm already and I can't do it? So the whole concept of being a mitzuva falls by the wayside if there's no bechira. And what else does he say at the end of sources? Din mishpat nifra min harasha al tzadik. The whole din of schava onesh falls away. Why am I going to be, if I don't have bechira, then why am I being punished for something which I had no bechira that I had to transgress anyway? Or why am I getting rewarded for something that I had to do anyway? So the whole concept of bechira, chashi underlines those major concepts of schar ve'onesh and being a mitzvah. So if that's so, where would I have put it? I would have put these two prakim of bechira. I would have put it at the very beginning of the Sefer in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah, and not put it, wait to put it in into the middle of Hilchas Tshuva. So why is that the case? Another question, which I thought was fascinating. Here, Rav Miller was quoting Rav Moshe Shapiro in the name who was quoting the Chiddush Erev. And he said the following. He says, if you look in source 7, which is the first halacha in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, he brings the makor for tshuva, or for the, if tshuva is the kima mitzvah, so the maisa mitzvah of tshuva, of saying vidui. So what? So he quotes a pasuk. Kol mitzvah shabbatorah, bein asu b'em lo sasa. He quotes a pasuk. He says, shenemar, ish o isha ki asu. A person is going to transgress. V'hidvadu et chatatam asher asu. So they should confess the sins that they did. Ze vidui dvarim, vidui ze mitzvah sase, based on this pasuk. So if I ask you where... where is that pasuk? You know, where, you know, if I had to quote a pasuk, so I had other pasukim. Why? What? You know, I looked in source 8. I just, you know, quoted some other. It says, "Vayaki Hashem lachat me'ela v'tvada asher chata aleh." There's another pasuk that says you should confess your sins, and there's a, or maybe from the Yom Kippur service where the Kohen Gadol says, "Vizvada alav akol v'nap b'nei Israel." So there are psukim there that talk about bidur. What prompted the Rambam to take this pasuk and say that is the makor for the mitzvah of tshuva, for the mitzvah of bidur? So where is this pasuk from? So that's where I quoted in sources 9 and 10. There is a parsha in the Torah called Shuas HaPigadon. If a person is given an object to watch, right, and then that person denies ever receiving it, right? The person says, oh, can I have my object back? And he says, what object? I never received the object. And he even swears to it. I swear, right? And he takes a shvua that he doesn't have it, okay? Then afterwards, he then admits, after he took the shvua, that he really does have it, right? So the Torah says, not only does he have to return, you know, the object, what he has, but then he has to add a chomesh, 20, a fifth, which is really 25% more, and bring a korban asham, and bring a korban asham. So that's in Vayikra. Nefesh techata, sur parakei, umala malal b'ashem, b'chichesh b'amito. He denies having b'pikadon. He denies having this pikadon. But it's not only, I deny having any money, right, of yours. O chumas yad, o begezel, o beoshek, alamito, or in hashava saveda. I deny having a money that's yours in my possession, and I deny having it, and I take a shvur on it. So that's the parsha, Yeshua Sapikadon. It's repeated in Bar Midbar in source 10, Perek Hay. Rashi already brings down, says why it's repeated, because there's two other halachas that are brought down in Bar Midbar. One says, let's say you did this to a ger who has no yorshim. So who do you give the money to? So in this parsha it says you give it to the kohen. And in this parsha it's also in Bar Midbar saying that if Edom come and prove that you had the money, then you don't. You have to give back, but you don't do the chomesh and the asham. You only get the kapara with the chomesh and the asham if you voluntarily admit it yourself, not if other edim come. So those two ideas were added. But it's from this parsha, which is a continuation of Shuas HaPikadon, called Gezel Ager, where the Rambam gets his source of vidui of Hilchas Tshuva. Source 10. Deber b'nei Israel, ish o isha ki asu mikol chatot adam limo mal b'ashem b'ashma ha-nefesh ahu. We're talking about the exact same case where he's denying having the money. V'edvadu et chatatam asher asu, and then he's misvade that he does. He admits it, and so then he has to bring, you know, he has to bring a korban asham, and he has to be mosif chamesh and all those other halachos. So if you saw what I underlined, the ish o isha ki asu, that's the same source in halacha aleph, perak aleph, halacha aleph, shenema ish o isha ki asu, and it says v'svadu es chatatam asher asu. That's the next line that I underlined, v'svadu es chatatam asher asu. So you see, the Rambam took it from this parsha. So the whole question again that we're asking. Why from this parsha? Out of all the places that he could have taken to talk about vidui, why did the Rambam take it from this parsha of Shuas HaPikadon, of denying some, you know, of that you got as a pikadon, and then trying to return it? Okay, so the answer, I think, to these five questions, again, the question of what does it mean, this metaphor of linor kapav mechatatav, shaking out one's hands. Why is the Rambam focusing on the Yom HaMavis? What does it mean? Why is he focusing on Olam Haba here? Why did he place it here in Hilchos Tshuva and not in the beginning in Yisodei HaTorah? And the last question is, what about the source? Why is he taking it from Shuas HaPikadon? So we asked five questions. So Rav Miller said that he thinks the key to understanding it is the Rambam is basing Perek Zayin on a Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis. On Kuf Nun Beis, the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, he says, what's the explanation of this pasuk? V'haruach tashuv el ha'alohim asher natna. The ruach, what Hashem breathed into you, meaning your neshama, is going to be returned one day to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanalo, you're going to have to return it back to Hashem. Kamosha natno lecha b'tahara, afata b'tahara. Just like Hashem gave you a leif tahor, right? So too, it's your job to give back to Hashem your soul in its pristine tahor state. And he gives a mashal. Mashal melech basav adam, shechalak bigdei malchiyos la'avadav. He gave clothes to certain of his servants. So the smart ones amongst them, shebehem kiflum b'hinuchim b'kuf. Kufsad, he put them in a drawer when they were involved in their work. But the tifshim shebehem hachu v'asu behem malacha. But the ones that were not very smart went about their daily drudgery, you know, lives with those clothes on and got them dirty. The amim bikesh melech et kelav, he wanted them back. Pichim shehem hichzirin lo kishehem mugu hatzin, return those clothes pressed and white and neat and in proper condition. Tifshim shehem hichzirin lo kishehem muluklachim, gave back that beged, again, a metaphor for your soul, right, gave back their soul dirty. Samach HaMelech Likras Pikhin, he was glad to greet the ones that took care of their soul, Bakas Likras Tipshin, who got their soul dirty. With that Gemara, so the next Amud of the Gemara, so Rav Elazar makes a statement. He says, so what? So we've dirtied our soul. Everyone lives in this. We're not ones that take our clothes and put it in a drawer our whole life. We don't, you know, everyone who's involved in the world is involved in, by omission or commission, has not used all their kochos properly and has been involved in chet. So Rabbi Leza says, what should a person do? Shuv yom echad lifnei mitatcha. Do tshuva. Do tshuva. Because that can, we'll see, clean the beged. That can be metahir your neshama, in order that you can return it pure. Shal to me, does Rabbi Eliezer, he adam yadeze yamut, does he know when he's going to die? Amalahan, v'choshken, yashuva yam, shama yamut lamachar, v'nimsa kol yamav v'tshuva, so live your whole life v'tshuva, because you don't know when you're going to die. And Shlomo said the same thing, v'chol et yu b'gadech levenim. Obviously, the Rambam, right, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Beis, is basing that whole halacha on Misa and focusing on Misa. He's basing himself on this Gemara of Rabbi Elazar, of what a person can do in order to return his neshama back to a pure state. Even the metaphor is referring to this idea of returning your soul back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a pure state, because Rav Miller wanted to say that the Linor Kapav Mechata Av is based also on a Gemara in Shabbos a few blot beforehand, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, where it says, Hamenar Talito B'Shabbos Chayiv Chatas. If a person shakes out the dust off his jacket, or some people say if it's not an Isser Malabain because you might need water, so there might be these certain threads that were done at the end of the process that are on it, and you shake them off and bring it back to the pristine condition, it's Makeh Pepatish, that lasts there, so you're Chayav Achatas. So we see this metaphor of taking a beged, again, and the king gave us a beged, the king gave us, it was a metaphor for our neshama, and we have stains on it. So we want to be mina'er kapav michata av. We want to mina'er the talit, and that's where he's going to shake it off to get it back in its pristine form. So the Rambam, that's the idea behind Perek Zayin of the Rambam, of pushing us to understand, we can go back, of why he says nora kapav. He's talking about a tshuva, a type of tshuva, not that this just brings kapara, right? Because that level of tshuva could just make kapara. That might be based on a normal understanding of tshuva, of bechira, where if that's all it was, he could have brought bechira just at the very beginning of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. Because that's the fundamental basis of all being a tzivoy. It's the fundamental basis of all of Shkava Onesh. It's fundamental basis of this halacha too, that not the, a halacha of where if you do tshuva, sometimes a court can say, okay, you said you're sorry, and we'll say that that's the time served or something. We'll leave it at that. But there is now, the Rambam is talking about a deeper level. A person has done tshuva and has already soiled his neshama. How does a person then, we wouldn't think, how does a person clean that? So the Rambam is saying there's a type of, you can do there's a bechira, there's a level of choice where you can do such a tshuva, which is a tshuva hametaharas. There's a tshuva that can actually go back to the past, right? Not just future actions. I know that Bechira is involves in future actions, and I have Bechira Chavshi, which is the basis of Schava Onesh. I know that Bechira is the fundamental principle of not only Schava Onesh, but also being a Mitzuvah for any of my future actions. But dude, I know that this, he says there's a second level. At the end of Perek Vav, the Rambam describes a level of Bechira that can do a Tshuva Meitahara that can even affect the past. That's a completely new idea, only related to this level of Tshuva. Not something that you would bring in the beginning of Yisodei Torah, only something that you would bring now in Hilchot Shuvah, because this is an idea where Bechira can now cleanse the past and be mitire your soul. And that could be Linor Kapab Michata'av, and that's Sheyamus, and then when you die, you can bring your soul back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in its pure state, and be Yizkeh L'chai Olam Abba. That's why the Rambam focused on, he said, why did he bring his source from the Shuas HaPikadon? Again, because we're given a Pikadon. Hashem gives us our neshama as a Pikadon to watch. We have a Shlichos. He's given us something to watch, but then Shlichos is over, we're going to have to return that Pikadon. And if we were Sholech Yad Pikadon, if we damage it, if we're denying that we had it, if we got it dirty, if we had, then we have to say Vidui. There's a type of Vidui that Rambam is trying to bring down that maybe can then purify this Pikadon and enable us to bring it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a pure state. How can that be? When, you know, how can you do that? And this is what we're going to end with, this last idea. Good, right before 10 o'clock. Source 14. What Rambam is going to say, actually in Source 18, but we'll lead up to it, is that one is, how does one do this? By linking into the Midah of Emet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very strange. Why, if you had to come up with Shlosh Yisrael Midas Harachamim of mercy, why would you think that Emet, which is one of them, why is Emet a Midas Harachamim? I would think Emet more properly reflects a Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin. So let's try to understand a little better what does it mean, what is this Midas Harachamim of Emet. And what we're going to see is the Midas HaEmes means that it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is above time. And that was why I named this free will, past, present, and future. Because Emet is going to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is above time. Where do we see this? We see this actually in Rashi, in Shmos Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel. Look at Source 14, where it says in Sefer Shmos, in the beginning of Ve'era, says, Ve'era el Avraham, el Yitzchak, ve'el Yaakov, ve'el Shaddai. I made myself known to the Avos with the name El Shaddai. Ushmi Hashem, lo nadati lehem. But they did not know Hashem, which is HaYehovah V'yiyah, they didn't know that. Why? What does Rashi say? Lo nikarta lehem midos amitut shali. They did not have the midah of Emes. Why? Sharei hiftachtim v'lo kiyamti. I promised them Eretz Yisrael, right? But they didn't get it in their lifetime. But we're going to see that the Midah, and that's against the Midah Emes, because the Midah Emes says that as soon as Hashem wills something, then it doesn't happen in the future. Anything that happens to Hashem in the future is like it's happening right now, and should be happening right now in the present. There's a sefer out there, which I highly recommend, where Rav Ezra Brick, a Ram in Yeshivat Haaretzion, is actually going through the 13 Midas HaRachamim and trying to point out the difference between every Midah. What's the difference between Kel? What's the difference between Rachum and Chanun? What is the difference between Erech HaPayim and Rav Chesed? He's trying to really explain each one. When it comes to his chapter on Emet, he says, in God's essence, of course, there is no gap at all between His will or this is page 69, His will or promise and their actual fulfillment. The attribute of Emet, of truth, indicates that the revelation of His will should immediately amount to the fulfillment of it. Reality should reflect His will. He quotes a lot in the Sefer from Rav Huttner. And he says, according to Rav Huttner, the attribute of Emet is the equation of future and present. The evaluation of the present in light of its future development. For in a world of movement and development, the future is rooted in the present and grants retroactively to the present the value of which grows out of it. Repentance and future good redeem the present evil. For in the eyes of the merciful God, who is Rav Emet, the future good is already present in the present evil. So what he's saying is, God is above time. I'm being judged right now in the present, right? If I commit myself through tshuva to be doing, to change myself, and to doing good, right? Well, in the future. But that future, even my commitment to do future in the good, God could take that future in the good, but for him, my future good is like it's happening right now. And that's how Emet, which is above time, God can take my future promises and help me as a Midas HaChesed in my din in the present. So Rav Miller, while Rav Bick was pointing to this din of Emet, of being above time, talking about the future helping the present, Rav Miller was focusing on this din of Emet in the Rambam, which we're going to see, which is actually then can also help the past and help purify the past. Because the same way, any future commitments can also retroactively change and be metahir, the stains that I did in the past. Source 17, though, says this concept is an amazing concept, that that it can affect the past. Pasuk in Iyuv, mi yitain tahor mitame, can tar come from tame? How can you be, that can't be. Lo echad, no one can take something which is tame and make it tahor. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu, could do something like that. Look at source 18. This is the end of Perek Vav, where he talks about Bechira. So according to Rav Miller, he's already spoken about the normal Ikar of Bechira, which is the basis of, again, Schar Ve'Onesh and being a Metzuva, and that's one, that's the level, maybe even of Tshuva, of Kapara, where you can maybe be forgiven. That's maybe understandable, a level of Bechira. But here he's saying at the end of Halacha Vav, he's describing a whole level of Bechira. A person can choose, again, to refocus his whole life, to do a tshuva metahara, a tahura, he can link in, he's going to see, to the Midah Emes, so much so that his future commitment now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to then look at that, this tshuva now, which is linking into the Midas Emes, which is above time, and go back to his past and be Menard Kapav, and clean his garment, and clean his neshama, and allow him to come up to Shemayim, fulfilling his shlichos, not being sholeach yad in the pikadon that he's being washed, and bring his neshama back in a pure state. There's a level of bechira to choose that level of tshuva metara that's possible. Watch what he says. Uchinyin zeh. Sholin at tzaddikin v'anevim b'tfiloson. The neviim have asked in the tefillah, Meis Hashem, la'azram al ha'emet. They don't ask to help with, not doing an Avera. They're asked being linked in to this Midah of Emet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is above time, which can affect the past. Kolosha Amar David, Harini Hashem et Darkecha. Kloma, Ayim Nan Uni Chata'ai Derech HaEmet. Don't let my sins prevent me from linking in to this Midah of Emet. Shemimena Eidah Drachecha V'Yichud Shmecha. That I can know you, Hashem. Ela, Tiyeh HaRishut B'Yadi. I have the rishut. There is a level of bechira ad she'echzo avim ve'eda derech ha'emet, that I can know emet. I can know the God that's above time, where He can then transform my past and purify it. B'hu mashamro chazal bali taher. This is a bechira that leads to a tshuva of tahara masayim also. So with that, I sort of wanted to conclude, but just in summary, we said that after just reviewing some of the concepts that Rav did on Bechira, and maybe Rav Miller's other terminology of saying a Baal Tshuva as opposed to Tshuva Me'ava, but then we asked five questions. We said, what does it mean in the beginning of Hilchus, in Perek Zayin, of Hilchus Tshuva? Why, what does it mean, this metaphor of Or Kapav Mechatatav? What is he talking about, Yom HaMaves? Why is he talking specifically here, linking into Olam Haba? We asked, why is he bringing it here in Hilchus Tshuva, not in the beginning, if it's such an Ikar? And we all answered that here he's basing himself on a Gemara in Shabbos and Kufnun Beis, is talking about Tana Kamosha Netna Lacha B'Tahara Afata B'Tahara, returning your soul B'Tahara. For that to happen, that can only happen by if you link into the Midah Emet, which Rambam was saying at the end of Perek Vav, that you have a Bechira that can link into a God above time, which is not something which you would bring. This concept of Bechira you know, at the beginning of Yisraelei Torah, because it's such a, it's a concept that focuses on Tshuva Metahara. That's why it belongs in Hilchos Tshuva here, and that's what that such a Tahara that can purify the past. That's and that's why we, maybe he gave the his whole Makor of Vidui comes from that Shuas HaPigadon of we have this Neshama to watch as a Pigadon that we have to return to Hashem B'Tahara. Last source, and if we are, my bracha to everyone sitting here is that if we all can fulfill this very high level of tshuva. If Klal Yisrael can do this, then we have a haftacha. If Klal Yisrael does this level of tshuva, then it leads to a an immediate geula and the B.S. Mashiach Zidkenu B'Hera Amen.